the various procedures involved as far as application for patents are concerned. The learning objectives of this chapter talks about how does one go about with applying for a patent, who are not eligible to apply, where to apply, how to apply, the various intricacies regarding specification and procedures and types of applications under the Patents Act 1970. We now proceed with the first area. Who are eligible to apply? Who can apply? By any person claiming to be the true and first inventor of the invention. An assignee claiming to be the true and first inventor. The legal representatives of the deceased person who immediately before death was entitled to make such an application. Who cannot apply for a patent. Where to apply. To be filed at the appropriate office of the patent office. Well, my dear friends, I'll go into each and every aspect of this area. Who can apply? We are now aware that the person who can apply is the true and first inventor who has the exclusive monopoly right, who is called as the patentee. He is the first person who shall be eligible to apply. Now supposing we have two applications where one person has applied for a patent, whereas the other gentleman or the other person has just kept his invention as a secret without application. Now here when there are two persons applying for the invention wherein one has applied and the other has not applied, friends, you will be rather concerned to know the person who has applied for the first time will be the true and first inventor, although the second gentleman has already come out with the invention, but if he has not put it into the public domain and has not applied, his invention remains a secret, and therefore this is the first person who is eligible, whereas the second man, although he had invented or gone about with the invention earlier than the first person, it is the first inventor who applies, who is eligible to obtain a patent. So this is the person who enjoys the exclusive monopoly right to make, to use, to sell, to lease, or to have any rights as regards the patent. Now coming to the second aspect. We have already seen that a patent is assignable. What is assignable? An assignment is an act of transfer to a person called a licensee under an exclusive licensing arrangement. Under this arrangement, the licensee acquires from the inventor all the rights as regards the patent, and this is supported by a documentary evidence as regards the terms and conditions between the original applicant and the assignee. If both these persons are deceased, what do you mean by the term deceased? They die before the application. In such an eventuality, we have the legal representatives of the patentee as well as the legal representatives of the assignee who shall be eligible to apply for a patent. So we have seen three categories. It shall be the true and first inventor, it shall be the assignee, as well as the legal representatives of the patentee and the assignee who shall be eligible either singularly or jointly to make an application for a patent. Who cannot apply? Where a country does not provide protection to the citizens of India as regards privileges for the grant of a patent, which it affords to the nationals of its own country, then In such an eventuality, a national cannot apply for any patent under the Patents Act in India. So therefore, such a national cannot be granted, or he cannot apply for any patent for any invention under the Patents Act. He cannot have it assigned, or the assignee cannot have himself registered as a proprietor of the original inventor, as well as any application for license shall not be valid under the Patents Act. To give you a practical example here, now we have a partnership firm. I have a partner who provides finance to two other partners, wherein the remaining two partners are providing the skill, the technical advancement or the technical know-how, and they are coming about with an invention. Now, is this financing partner, the partner who has provided capital, can he call himself a patentee? No. A person who provides finance, who has no participation as far as the invention is concerned, cannot be entitled to call himself a patentee, because he is only a financier. He doesn't grant any other help besides a financial transaction. So, here is a partner who only provides finance, whereas the other two partners in whom the patent rights devolve can call themselves patentee. Now, again the question arises, can a partnership firm have a patent right? The patent rights devolve on the individual partners. But you are aware that when a partner is carrying on business, he doesn't have individual property rights. It is the property rights that he functions on behalf of the firm, because the individual property and the property of the partnership is a joint property under the Partnership Act. So whatever he does is on behalf of the partnership. So he can assign this right unto the partnership firm. Similarly, as far as the corporate sector is concerned, a company, and we have an employer and an employee, can the employer or the company claim patent rights? No. It is in the hands of the employee, wherein it can be assigned by a licensing arrangement unto the company, whereby only then, on behalf of the company enjoys patentship rights or the patentee rights of the employee, wherein the employee is working for him. We have a starting example of Messrs. Shining Industries versus Krishna Industries, where this was the case in the area of corporate sector, where company enjoyed the rights of patent rights which were assigned to him by the employee. Where to apply? It shall be applied at the head office or the appropriate office. Now, the appropriate office, now as far as we in the Indian conditions are concerned, the head office for patents is at Kolkata. We have branch offices at Chennai, at Mumbai, as well as at Delhi. The Director General's office, as far as trademarks, designs and patents are concerned, is at Mumbai. But exclusively for patents, the head office is at Kolkata. Now, the territorial jurisdiction will be wherever the applicant resides or has any place of business. If there are joint applicants, the first inventor, whosoever resides, carries on business, or wherever the source of the invention occurs, will be the place where he applies. Finally, coming down to the corporate sector, the head office of the company will be the place where the patent rights will reside normally. We now move into the area how to apply. Now, every single application will be under Section 7 in the form prescribed in the second schedule of the Patents Act, along with the rules of 2003. Now, every single application will be accompanied by specifications, which could be provisional or complete specifications regarding the application. In the event of an assignment, the document with regard to the exclusive licensing arrangement between the original proprietor and the licensee is required to be incorporated, and every single application shall conform to the provisions of the Act and the rules. Convention application and international application. What is the meaning of a convention application? Any application for the invention or obtaining a patent of invention by a person who resides in a convention country is called as a convention application. Now, this means India, obviously, is a member under a bilateral trade agreement with a number of countries. So, wherever she happens to be a signatory of any of these countries and there is an application made in one of these countries, here it is called as a convention application. International. Now, this comes under the International Cooperation Treaty, where India was a part of it at Washington way back in 1970. So, where India is also a part of this international treaty, she is entitled to be eligible to obtain such a patent, whereby a simultaneous application has to be made to the controller of patents in India. So, if there is a simultaneous application, India is eligible to be a part of the international treaty, wherein she is also allowed to file an application, and the specifications and other details will be the date, or the priority date will be the date of filing the international application. Now, coming down to the types of applications, the basic types are ordinary application, wherein an application is given for a singular invention along with provisional and complete specifications. There will be patents for addition. Now, what is the meaning of a patent of addition? I have made an invention. It could be of a machine or an apparatus or a substance. Supposing over a point of time, over a period of time, there arises an improvement, a modification, a scientific research over the original invention, then the applicant applies for a separate application, which is called a patent of addition, wherein he adds to the previous or the main application whatever are the modifications in the earlier invention. However, the claims as regards the original and the subsequent shall be different. Amendment, application and specification, convention and international are the various types of applications. Now, we come down to the area on specifications. What exactly is a specification? It means all particulars or information regarding the invention in brief. So, the description which is given by the applicant with a subject title disclosing the invention, along with drawings, along with sketches, whereby it is printed on the specification, giving an idea about the particulars regarding his invention, is called specification. Now, this specification are of two types. One is called provisional specification and one is called complete specification. A provisional specification, a specification which gives a temporary brief description about the invention, the utility or its application, and the results of anticipation, is a provisional application. Now, this provisional specification must be followed by a complete specification within a period of 12 months after provisional specification. Failing which, if the applicant doesn't give this within 12 months, the application is abandoned. The period of 12 months is enhanced to 15 months so that in the time interval, if there is any modification, it can be made by the applicant suitably. If there are two or more provisional specifications, the controller combines all these provisional specifications into one singular specification. Now I come down to complete specification. When a complete specification is submitted to the controller within a period of 12 months, he requests the controller kindly cancel the provisional specification because I have now come out with a complete specification giving you all the details. What are the details? Fully and particularly, I describe the invention. What is its operation, its use, and the methods that I have adopted in my invention. I disclose the best method or the best practice, the best way to manufacture any article or substance, or it is an improvement over the earlier substance. And I end with a claim defining what is the scope of my invention, giving you what is a technical advancement, what are the various areas of technology that I have adopted, so that I give you a complete area on the particulars of this description of mine. After that, when I give an abstract of the technical information, I am deemed to have given all the particulars regarding a complete specification. Thereafter, the applicant obviously applies for inventorship in form number 5, and whatever additions are there is sought to be made together in the complete specification, giving the controller a thorough insight into the utility, the technical aspects of the invention as carried out by the inventor. We now move to amendment of application and specification before the controller. Here is an area whereby the applicant gives an application along with the specification and all other related documents. Now this is submitted to the controller of patents. Controller is required to have a scrutiny of the various areas whereby he examines the various details that are given. However, if the matter or any proceeding is before a board, an appellate board, or before a court, the controller will have no jurisdiction over this area. Supposing there is any area for amendment, the controller requests the applicant to state the nature, the particulars, as well as the reasons for the amendment that he directs. And this has to be incorporated by the applicant. Secondly, opposition to the amendment. What is the meaning of opposition? A third party comes forward stating that the man who has applied has violated certain provisions and therefore I, the third party, wants to oppose or to infringe or to state that whatever he has stated is completely wrong. This man who is in the position of an opponent is any man who is interested in the same invention. So obviously, in order to fight that the amendment for this application should not be made, he makes a request in writing to the controller and says, the amendment to the specification of this applicant shall not be granted because of these grounds that I oppose. The controller takes this submission from the opponent. He gives it to the applicant and tells the applicant, what are your evidences against the opposition? Give me the grounds. He then calls both the parties, the opponent as well as the applicant, gives a hearing and then goes about with the judgment. If he feels that the opponent has valid grounds, he immediately asks the applicant to amend the specifications with immediate effect. amendment of a specification before the appellate board or the High Court. In any legal proceeding before, the appellate board means an authority over the controller wherein either the applicant or the opponent has certain areas of request to the board that whatever decision has been taken by the controller is not conducive or favorable to either party. Now, both the appellate board or the High Court, whenever the opponent has got valid grounds and the board is of the opinion that instead of revoking the application, it would be better to have the specification amended, the board conducts a direction and informs the applicant that the specification will be immediately amended with immediate effect, and the controller is sought to be informed about these areas of amendment. Whenever the board or the court makes an amendment, the controller is required to have an entry as a matter of evidence of these copies of amendment and put it down in his register of amendments carried out by the board. Finally, we come to limitations to amendment. When can amendment not be carried out? Whenever the claims as stated by the applicant are already there in the public domain and it is already officially published in the official gazette, or whatever this applicant has stated is already publicly known or it is already in use in an earlier invention and it has already been published in the official gazette, and therefore there are no grounds for amendment at all because it is already publicly known and this invention is already popularly undertaken by another patentee, then an amendment is usually not permissible. Where a complete specification is filed in pursuance of a single application, accompanied by a provisional specification, the priority date will be the date of filing of the relevant specification. So therefore, whenever all the details are given between a provisional and a complete, the date when all the particulars are filed in a complete specification is deemed to be the priority date. Two or more applications, the date of filing of the first and the second respectively, the priority date will be the date wherein the first specification details was given completely unto the controller. Where a complete specification based on a previously filed application in India has been filed within a period of 12 months. That is, a singular application was filed earlier and afterwards in India within a period of 12 months a second application is filed for the purposes of obtaining a patent for an invention. Now, what will be the priority date? The priority date is based on the basic application wherein the details as regards the specification was initially filed. Coming down to multiple priorities, wherein two or three countries make applications at the same time, the country which gives or provides or submits all the details of the specifications for the first time and they are disclosed will be the application that is entertained for the purposes of priority dates. Thank you very much.